Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. We hope that wherever you are having a wonderful Sunday. I'd like to say hello to the panelists. Just three are in right now, but the others are coming in, and so we can continue with a great show today as usual. One of the things that I wanted to start the show with was what the thoughts are of the panelists, because the Pelosi husband in San Francisco beat down they got seems very violent, and I'm noticing that politics is becoming very messy and very hard. From 2017 to 2021, threats against members of Congress have been investigated by the Capitol Police, and an increase of 144% of what they've ever did before. But there have been a lot of political attacks, especially recently, and I don't know what that means about the United States, that we've gotten to having to kill politicians and everything. And a lot of people are making it, you know, politically, like it's the left against the right or the right doing everything. So it's kind of strange where we are right now. And we've been saying that, you know, that the United States is a little tipsy-turvy right now. We don't know where it's going. But then this, I think, is on the top. What are your thoughts, Don?
David, I agree with you 100%. That is so messed up, man. I mean, it gets me because Nancy Pelosi has a Secret Service protection wherever she goes. However, she was not at home, and there was no Secret Service protection at her home where her husband lives and where she lives. Why wasn't there Secret Service protection at the home anyway? And then when this intruder broke into the home, he had enough smarts to call the law enforcement open, and they heard the conversation, and they were at his home fast enough to save his life. Why don't we have Secret Service at the home as well as her whereabouts? That's my question.
I'm sure there would be a lot of people that would complain about we spending money on those kinds of things. I wouldn't, but I mean, I'm sure I could hear that. But what's your thoughts on that, Bruce? Bruce?
Well, first of all, Don, I found that curious too. And the answer I got was, I don't know that I want to say by law, but by edict or by normal action, up until the things getting as crazy as they are now, the husband doesn't have Secret Service, so it's not. And I guess they felt it really wasn't necessary. But you know, the way things are now, I could hear it in your voice, and most people think, "Wow, that's crazy. Why doesn't he have protection too?" It wasn't a situation not too long ago where I guess they didn't feel it was necessary. So that's the answer that I heard. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the answer I heard. I also, when I heard it, I first thought, nobody wants him attacked like that brutally. Thank God they say he's going to totally recover, but you don't know if he will totally recover mentally. I mean, he was, by the sounds of it, he was attacked pretty severely. And I also thought when I saw the videos, there were swarms of police everywhere once it happened, and I'll bet you money there will be a police detail that stands guard over that house and over Paul, where Paul is, for who knows how long. Whereas when Brett Kavanaugh ended up getting harassed, they're still harassing out in front of his house, as I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, with no protection. So, again, it's become depends on who you are and who's in office, and it should not be a political thing at all. But you get the sense, based on some of those criteria, that it still is, and it's a dirty shame. This kind of crime, no matter who perpetrates it, and no matter what party you're in, should not be happening, period.
Wow. What are your thoughts, Darius?
Well, you know, I agree with Don and Bruce, of course. I understand that, you know, Secret Service detail does follow her, but not her home. But I think when you're third in line, you know, to be the president of the United States, then that you should have constant protection at your home as well, even when you're not there, if you have other family members there. So I think that's something that they may need to look into. I also find it, I'm glad Bruce mentioned it, and I hope this is not in poor taste, because, you know, what's going on with her and her husband was a horrible, horrible thing, and that shouldn't be happening on any side. But I just find it ironic that here she is facing something like this, but when the justices' lives were endangered, she did not want to pass the law or the bill that provided security for those Supreme Court justices. And if you didn't know, Bruce, they do have protection now. But she had to be shamed into it. You know,
yeah.
She said that her and the president and at the time the press secretary said that, oh, they have a right to protest. Like, you know, they have a right to be in front of the home. And then when the guy came there and tried to, you know, was going to kill Kavanaugh, they still didn't move on it. So I just had to bring that up. I mean, I just find it ironic that here she, you know, this happens to her, but yet she wasn't willing to give protection to the Supreme Court justices whose lives were being threatened.
All right. Ron, do you have anything you would like to say?
Yeah, first of all, it's nice to be back, guys. Missed you guys and missed the show.
Welcome home.
Welcome back.
Thank you. What I do want to say is, first of all, I agree with everything that Don, Bruce, and Darius said, 100%. I think it's troubling, very troubling, and sad, honestly, that we've come to this in this country. I mean, these are the things that you hear happen in other countries, especially third world countries, I think, but not in the United States of America. And I think we live in a different world now. I think we're going to have to seriously take a look at, you know, how we move forward from here. I mean, and like you said, Darius, you know, third in line to become president. I mean, we need protection for all of these people, I think, at no matter what the cost. We're spending billions, you know, on a war in a different continent. The least we could do is protect our own people here in the United States, in my opinion. And, you know, throwing a little bit of controversy, as I usually tend to do into this conversation, my belief and what I feel is that things have been on shaky ground in this country really since the insurrection attempt on January 6th. It's bipolarized the country from what I can see and from what I see right here in my community more than it's ever been before. Not that it's never been divided. It's been divided before, but I think it's at a different level now. I think people are nasty to each other now. I think there's a lot of deep resentment at people that don't believe the same things you do, and it's kind of scary, really.
is also. All right.
Can I add something to you, Ryan?
Wait, Bruce. Let me weigh in on that.
Oh,
Bruce,
okay. Didn't know you were there, Michael. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I got a lot to say on this, so give me a second here because, number one, we are totally, totally divided as a country, worse than I would imagine before the Civil War. Obviously, I wasn't around, but I don't think we've been that divided since 1861. And my buddy Darius just kind of underscored why we're so divided. To hear a Republican, like I've heard Darius and many other do, take the fact that this 82-year-old man was almost bludgeoned to death with a hammer and make it political. For Darius to sit there and say, yeah, but it's kind of funny, yeah, you just got beat with a hammer, but funny how your wife didn't want to vote for a few things we like, ha, ha, ha. That's beneath you, Darius, with all due respect. But I've seen tons of Republicans do that, attack Nancy Pelosi and her policies based on the fact that her husband was just almost killed. Because that's their way of saying we're in the middle of a cold civil war. And that's the far right saying, yeah, that's a shot. We kind of got a shot off to him. We attacked a leader in the Democratic Party, third in line to be president. That's literally a shot in the cold war. They fired a shot, basically. So we're totally divided. We're totally in the middle of a cold civil war right now. I think moving forward, Ron, to answer your question, we all need to really sit and think about what are we going to do to go ahead and break the union up. We need to break it up and divide it into individual regions, and the Republicans go there, the Libs go there, and we figure that out. Because we're not going to be able to move forward in this direction, and we're not going to be able to put the toothpaste back in the tube. I'm sorry. America worked very well for the last 100, 200 years because it was just an all-white man country. White man was the governor. White man was the president. He was the CEO of the company. He was your boss. The white man was everything. It's not like that anymore. We're a very diverse country, and we're having a hard time figuring out how to move forward as a diverse nation. Last thing I'm going to say in regards to Nancy Pelosi having security, Paul Pelosi is worth $114 million. I don't understand why he would not have some sort of James Bond-type security in that house to where just a random guy can get in there with a hammer. And that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Hey, Bruce.
David, can I respond to that?
Sure.
Only because he mentioned my name. And I just want to make it clear. I don't know if Michael was listening when I was on the phone, but I don't know if anybody heard me making light of what happened to Paul Pelosi. If I did, if it sounded that way, if I was laughing or saying ha ha, please forgive me because that's not what I intended at all. And I'm almost certain I can hear myself. I didn't say any of that, Michael. I said it was a tragedy. I said it was wrong, and I said he should be protected. What I did say was it's ironic. And it is. And what happens in all, most
why
of these
cases. Why even bring it up? Why not just stop there? Why bring that up?
I'm getting ready to bring it up now. The reason why I brought it up is because what David was alluding to when we started the show was how the level of rhetoric is escalating and the level of violence and the violent threats are escalating. So we need to take these threats seriously. And one of the things that we didn't take seriously was what happened with the Supreme Court justices. And she refused to do that. So I brought it up because it's significant. It's a very valid point. Just like she needs to be protected, her home, her family, those Supreme Court justices should be protected too. And any threat to a politician, right or left, should be taken seriously, Michael.
Okay, Darius, but let's just break it down, all BS aside. What you just did is you told the woman, I know your husband's on his deathbed, but funny how you didn't vote for this one thing I really liked. That's all you just did. Let's just simplify it. That's what you just did, Darius.
No,
you can try
no,
to make it sound
saying
educated as much as you can, but you be real, Darius. That's what you're doing, and that's what the entire Republican Party's doing.
Michael, I can see I can't convince you, man, so I'm just going to go with just play back what I said earlier. You can listen to it, and you can see I didn't say any of those things. But if you want to put words in my mouth to make your point, then that's fine, man. You can have that.
All right.
Michael?
Yeah, Bruce. You wanted to say something?
Michael.
Yes, sir, Bruce.
I still see you as a brother, but you are – you're shaded with so much anger that the moment you say something, you don't want any response or explanation beyond, there it is, done, hands, stop. Well, it works both ways. That's called dialogue. If the Republican side brings something up, then you or someone else on the far left, I still say there's a lot of really strong people on the left that aren't like the far left, they want to bring it up. So you when you say you can't have it both ways, it absolutely should be both ways. You can address a concern with a logical defense, and Darius or anybody else, myself, can do it from the right. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do, and we've gotten so far away from that. We don't have dialogue at all right now. That's what I wanted to add.
You know, I'd like to add to what is being said as well, Bruce. I think Michael expressed what is exactly happening in America now. We went through the division between black and white. Now it's Republican against Democrat. Now it's the have and the have-nots. Gentlemen, we're in a dangerous situation here. I don't know if you guys really notice it, but it's no more respect for mankind at all. Mankind does not even come into focus. It makes no difference if you're part of the human race anymore. Too much division. And let me tell you something. This division is going to be the downturn of this country if we don't get a handle on this. This is serious business we're in right now. You know, I'm really looking at the future, and I'm calling it out and putting spotlight on it. I don't like what I'm seeing in the world today, especially in our country. I don't like it.
All right,
hey, Don, if I may, real quick, this is Michael. You, to my point, Don, you kind of making in regards to we're having trouble figuring out how do we move forward as a diverse melting pot, because we've never been a diverse melting pot ever. As I said, we've always been the white man only since 1776, so we were able to move forward. As a diverse melting pot, tribalism is kicking in, and it's meaning that it's just natural for that community to look out for that community. This community look out for that community. The black community look out for the black community, white community. That's just tribalism. And that's just natural human nature. So I think the idea of America being a diverse melting pot, I think that's a failed experience. I don't think that will ever work. No other country's like that. You go to Japan, it's all Japanese people. You go to China, it's all Chinese people. When India, it's all Indian people. You go to Israel, it's all Jewish people. I think the concept of a diverse melting pot functioning is a entity, I think that's just a failed idea. I don't think it's going to work. I think that's the problem, and I think we really need to, as a country, address that.
That is the real problem, Michael. Michael, that is the real problem, because the diversity has never happened in this country. And if we keep living with the next 20, 30 years, people of color will be the dominant color in this country, and it's never been. And I don't.
And those
know
white
how...
boys ain't going for that. That's my point exactly. Those white boys, the hundreds of millions of white men like Bruce, they ain't going for that. They're not. Mitt Romney's not going for that. Ted Cruz is not. Rand Paul's not going for that. They're not. Mike Pence ain't going for that.
I got. If you want to just grade it based on race, which is the absolute wrong way to do it, it won't
it's
be the African. It will not be the African American group that is the dominant. It'll be the Hispanic and Latinos that are. Don't you see that? It will not be the African American situation.
Bruce, I said people of color. People of color.
Yeah, well, people of color. White people are of color too.
No, anybody can say that.
But you guys are making my point. The problem
You just heard Michael say he wants to divide every group. He didn't say all people of color or everyone but white. He didn't say that. He said he wants to break it all up into individual groups, and that's just that's not what this country is about, and it's not what it's going to be about once they get it turned around again. And that turning around should involve everyone, even the angry and the proud and the ones that are shamed. Everybody should get involved. That is the only way it's going to work.
Is there anybody right. on this phone, and I would like to hear from Darius or Ron, do you guys really think we can turn it around like Bruce just said? I don't think we're going to turn it around, Bruce. What do you think, Darius?
About, you mean turning back on the unity part? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I don't see that happening. I see that normally when something tragic happens, when we have a common enemy, then Americans come together. So it may take something like that for us to come together. But you remember this, Michael, the founding fathers intentionally set it up so it would be this way, not the violence, but so that there would be total like disagreement, I guess, for the lack of a better word. It's not supposed to be just somebody comes up with an idea and everybody gets behind it and it flies through. It's supposed to be gridlock. There's supposed to be discussion. It's supposed to be debate. That's the way it's intended. So it's working the way it's supposed to work. What happens when we lose that is when we start determining what's acceptable speech and what's not, what can be said and what can't be said. That's when we start to lose our democracy, and that's when we start to lose our republic, I'm sorry. But as far as us all coming together on one page in unity and singing Kumbaya, that will never happen. And I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with the violence. And I think once you start escalating, once the violence starts to escalate, and once you start calling people names and you know, calling someone evil and, you know, those types of things, that's when the rhetoric ratchets up, and then that's when we start to lose our republic.
All right, gentlemen, I'm going to bring this to a close because there's a lot of people have a lot of things they want us to discuss tonight. So, hey, we need to get out of the politics a minute because there are several people who are asking the panel questions about the Halloween. And we've had this conversation in previous years about Halloween. And I have a message from a lady who says she's a member of a book club. And the book club is basically all females. And they have decided that they were not letting their kids go trick-or-treating because it's too dangerous. But their husbands are against it, and the husbands want to get together and take the kids out trick-or-treating. And she feels that in these days and time that it's too dangerous and men shouldn't think like that. So who wants to jump in with that one? What about
I'll
you?
I'll jump in first, David.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in first because my feelings along that line are very, very, very strong. First of all, I don't want to celebrate a demon holiday like that has been made to capitalize off of financially in this country. Secondly, I'm not for children going from house to house to get some candy that may be filled with any type of drug. The way the world is today, fentanyl, and there's too many evil spirits connected to the celebration of this holiday. It's economically driven, and we need to do more family-oriented things that are wholesome because it's gotten out of control. And I don't want any of my children or grandchildren going from house to house to get candy. Because I don't trust the spirit that I'm seeing in the country. And we talked about it the past 15 to 20 minutes already, so I rest my case.
Okay, anybody else want to chime in? Do most people know that Halloween is actually a religious holiday? Well, it was. From Catholic religion, November 1st is All Saints Day. So it came up with how to get all of the evil spirits out of the world to allow All Saints to be have their day to make a recognition for all the saints. Well, that's how Halloween kind of came about. So what are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, I've never really been big on Halloween. And honestly, I do it for personal reasons because I have animals and I really don't want to be bothered. I mean, I hate it that I don't do it for the kids because I know the kids enjoy it. But, you know, for me to be opening and closing my front door, you know, constantly all night, and I do get a lot of kids in my neighborhood, is really not easy. So I don't do it. But when I was a kid, I did enjoy it. But things are different now. Like Don was saying, if I had kids, I don't know. I know that there's malls that do it, and I would maybe lean more toward doing something like that. Or, you know, right around my own neighborhood, you know, but, you know, just going too far down the road where there's people that you don't really know who they are. I mean, I know all my neighbors, so I trust them. But, you know, going too far off the road, I guess I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want the kids to do that. So, yeah, things are different now. Things are different. I mean, when I was growing up, and I'm 59, you know, it was the good old happy-go-lucky days, you know. Nobody worried about these things, but not anymore.
All right, Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, over the recent years, even before COVID and all the things that are going on right now, Halloween, it was slowly being taken over by the adults. The kids, as one of us mentioned, have safe places to go to, you know, trunk or treat or go to a local mall or a church group or something, so that if parents wanted to let the kids have the excitement that we used to have when we were young of the whole candy thing, they know it's safe, secure, and they can get that positive experience. The kids really don't care what you call it. It's a one day a year where they get free candy. So I if there's a way I can help kids and grandkids still experience that part of it, I'm all for it. What's interesting with the adults taking on more and more as just making it a party, unfortunately we have too many parties now, even today, that get totally out of whack. And there's no limits and situations that kind of keep it as a nice party, enjoyable, fun party. So on the adult part of Halloween, I'm not too excited about that at all anymore.
All right. What about you, Michael?
Yeah, I'm going to echo kind of what everyone else is saying. I'm just not big on the Halloween thingy, especially the capitalism part, the part how, like, I think it was Don or somebody, one of the callers said, how they're profiting off of this. And I'll give you an example. There's a movie called Halloween that stars Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers as the murderer. They've been retelling that exact same story over and over again since the 80s, yet still they just made $116 million off of that same story repackaged, and they only release it around, guess what, Halloween. So that on top of the candy stores and the costume makers and just all the money that's being made off of this Halloween, and you got kids in 2020, in this day and age, going to strangers' house asking for candy in this day and age with fentanyl and all kind of marijuana. Oh, it's just too many drugs that are just too accessible. It makes it easy just to put it in some kids' candy. I'm sorry, that's just a fact. Not to mention crazy killers and kidnappers and stuff. So, no, I'm like you, Don Wiggins. I don't want any of my loved ones who are children knocking on doors in a mask, and not to have the element of the cops going around killing black people. So if a black man's got a mask on, he's out trick-or-treating, he gets shot and killed. So, no, I'm not for the whole Halloween thing. I think we should dead it.
All All right. Any other thoughts on this conversation here? All right.
What about you, Darius? I wouldn't want to rob my children of anything that I experienced growing up. I had a great childhood. I had a lot of fun. And I just feel like now with kids being inundated with, you know, all of these social programs, you know, critical race theory and gender preference, gender neutral, gender fluid, kids are being sexualized with, you know, drag queens and, you know, can girls play on the boys' basketball, boys play on the girls' baseball team, and changing the locker room. All of this stuff is going on in our world. Just one night, man, let the babies live. Good Lord. Let them have some fun. Let them dress up. Let them run, laugh, play. Let them enjoy life. Now, do we not use caution? Absolutely. But that's our job as parents. That's not the kids' responsibility. So we control that part of it, that aspect, like going to strangers' homes. Or, you know, you can go to Trunk or Treat. You can go to the mall, like you guys said. There are different options. But just to cancel the whole thing from kids, man, they need more joy. They need more laughter. They need to play more. They need to have fun. And according to, you know, and I just want to address what Don said too. Children don't know that it's an evil holiday. It's only evil if you make it evil, if you practice it in an evil manner. All kids know is they're getting dressed up and they're getting candy and they're having fun, man. And we as a society, we need more of that, not less.
All right. Any comments to that? Nope.
Yeah, I would say, Darius, they got Christmas, they got the 4th of July, we got Thanksgiving. I mean, we got a lot of other holidays, Darius, where the kids can run around and have a good time.
I agree with all of them. But let's not take any of them away, though. Let's have all of them. Let's have more.
So that means take away Halloween because you have others? But that makes no sense.
All right, gentlemen. There are other comments coming in, but let's move on around the table because I want to hear what you guys have been thinking. Let's start off with Don. Don, you had something you wanted to bring to the table?
Yes. I'd like to bring something to the table that really affects the lifeline to what I've been living and working in for the past 50 years, and that's the media. We have a situation now in America where the richest black man in America, Kanye West, now better known as Ye, made some comments. And he made some comments that were taken as anti-Semitic. And these major endorsements and major companies that he was affiliated with have disassociated themselves with him, causing his income to decrease to unbelievable billions. Billions, not millions, billions. And he made a statement that the Jewish involvement controls the media. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, et cetera. Which he was absolutely right. It's always been that way. The Jewish community has controlled the media. Even the record industry. They make money off of "Bad Bitch is Crazy," "Kill This Nigga." Nigga. I'm going to just say it like it said in the record. We are experiencing something that is totally different. And I know Kanye has said some things that have been very controversial, especially after his mother died. And I just want to throw that out there and see what this panel and what people are saying across the world, because this is going to be a major topic that we're going to be dealing with from now until I rest my case.
Hey, if I please may take that first, Mr. Wiggins, Mr. Shorter. Yeah, I agree with you, because I, like you, work in media, in the entertainment business. I've worked in the entertainment business for the last 20 years. I know it very, very well. And, yes, absolutely, positively, 1,000%, the Jewish community has a monopoly over the entertainment and the media industry. That's a well-known fact. Everybody knows it. And all Kanye West did was say that. And because he said that, they took $500 million from him. And he just made his own argument. Kanye said that they control the media, and see, I say something negative about them and they take all my money. Kanye also said that George Floyd wasn't really killed by Derek Chauvin, said George Floyd died of a drug overdose. He said a lot of negative things, White Lives Matter. He took major shots at the black community, and he lost not a nickel. But the minute he takes a shot at the Jewish community, he loses $500 million. So that just goes back to what I said in the beginning about how divided we are as a country, because I'm not the only African-American that's looking at it going, saying, wait, Kanye said a lot of negative things about black people, nothing. He said something about that community, he loses everything. So maybe there's some argument to what he was saying. And you got tons of African-Americans who agree with what Don Wiggins said, that, yeah, they make money off of us, the negative side of us. They'll put out a ton of hip-hop records with rappers saying the B-word and the F-word and this and that. And they'll make billions off of that, them being the Jewish community. But the minute African-American speaks out against their monopoly, he gets destroyed. So, yeah, Don, I think that is something we need, that's a conversation we need to have, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier about how just divided we are as a country, and I don't think we're going to be able to turn it around.
You know something, Michael, and this bullet that was shot is going to be heard around the world. It's like the sore of a scab being pulled off of a skin that's got pus in it. And
absolutely.
Man,
one more thing. The sad part of it is, though, they're going to say what you and I are saying, Don Wiggins, is anti-Semitic. They're going to look at you and I, just because we're saying the truth, is being anti-Semitic. And that's always been their strategy. Anytime you point to their monopoly, they go, you're being anti-Semitic, you're Hitler. And no, we're not. We're just pointing to a fact. That's all.
Hello?
Yeah.
Everybody,
did we lose people?
Got quiet. No, I don't know what happened. I'm just getting a lot of emails all of a sudden.
No.
All right. Anybody else? What are your thoughts on that, Ron?
I won't comment, only because I really don't know much about what happened. I've been kind of out of tune with what's going on around the world for a few weeks now. So I really don't know what happened.
Well, I tell you what, let's change the conversation by bringing something else to the table. What about you, Bruce? What would you like to bring to the table?
Oh, thanks for calling on me. I'd like my brother's on the panel's opinion on Elon Musk taking over Twitter. It's got some people extremely happy, some people extremely angry, some people extremely nervous, and if it ends up anything close to what he said he's going to do, only time will tell us, that it will be a much more open and diverse platform that can only help, improve the situation. And because ultimately, that's what Twitter and all these media were supposed to be. They're not supposed to be the people that want to gatekeepers and decide for us whether something is appropriate or inappropriate or misinformation or information. We're supposed to decide that by seeing and hearing all the sides on these platforms. That's all the electronic approach was supposed to be, easier way to get the word out. And then, Michael, you decide on what you hear. I decide. Don, Darius, Ron, all of us decide in our own fashion, our own way, what to make of those. But we need to hear the different sides of the story, and I pray that that happens. Don't know if it will, but only time will tell. What do you guys think about that?
I think I do have a comment on that, Bruce.
What's that?
Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ron. Bruce, I don't disagree that we need to hear all sides, but there also needs to be some checks and balances, and I think Elon Musk, I think he said that it can't be a free-for-all. So eventually somebody at some point is going to have to decide, you know, like you can't yell in go into a movie theater and yell fire, you know, that kind of situation.
Right. Right.
Somebody's going to have to decide, oh, no, you can't say this on Twitter. It's not acceptable. So I don't think there's ever going to be a way to completely allow anything and everything that anybody wants to say on any platform. So in a civil manner, as long as, I mean, but then what about conspiracy theories? You know, are you going to allow people like, what's his name? Alex Jones to say that Sandy Hook never happened, you know, and he got my brother believing that. And I don't know if anybody on this panel believes it, but that it never happened, but you know, it could get very dangerous very fast. That's all I need to say.
And, Ron, I'd like to chime in by saying that Elon Musk just made a major move. It was a major move on his part. He now is looking at controlling the space, the outer space, beyond the United States, beyond the Earth, and now Twitter. And Twitter is a part of the media. It influences minds, emotions, behavior. It's just like Facebook or Instagram. The question is, should Twitter and all of these social media platforms be governed like the FCC over radio and television stations? We never had this opportunity or this insurgent of social media except for the past 20 years. So something is going to have to be done. Expect his next move to take the abandonment of Donald Trump and give him access to Twitter. It's going to happen before the end of the year. We're going to see a lot of changes with Twitter. So get ready. The bird is free.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Hey, Bruce, I agree with you. I'm very happy that Elon Musk did purchase Twitter. I'm very happy that he did that. But I also push back on the fact that equating Twitter with free speech. When the Constitution was written, Twitter wasn't around. So we always talk about how what the forefathers meant. They clearly didn't mean Twitter when they wrote that free speech. So I don't know if it's a, I don't, to me, in my personal opinion, I don't know if sending a tweet equals free speech. I mean, it's just the difference to me there. So I definitely think the government needs to step in and regulate it. And it just goes back to what I always say about, we got Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, we got Mitch McConnell, we got these 80-year-old leaders of ours who don't know anything about social media, who are governing us. So it goes back to an argument I always make, that we need term limits. We need some younger regulators looking at this and younger legislators looking at this and pass laws to govern social media. Absolutely.
Michael,
exactly. And Ron, you know something? These people governing social media don't even know how to do posting. We got younger people doing the operations of social media for their companies.
Michael, I agree with you on your aspect of it being it's a platform. It's not the act of public speech. I guess you could say it's the electronic town center of a community where you could come and talk and so forth. Yes. I also agree that some morals and responsibilities have to be infused in that. But you've seen the trouble that we're getting into by letting the government, whether it's state, local, or federal in most cases, trying to manage it. That's not a good thing either. We have to find a way to make that the town square that really allows free and open dialogue in, dare I say, a respectful way, so we can learn from it. I mean, we've got this wonderful network now that people can connect instantly all over the world, and we're abusing it. We're not using it, as you pointed out, Michael, in the right way. We need to find a way to use it in a powerful, positive way.
And Bruce, you know something? It's one of the first things that any business will align themselves with before they deal with terrestrial media, radio, television, billboards, etc.
Yeah.
They'll say, I can go on social media and it doesn't cost me anything. But yet and still,
right,
it influences the behavior and the pattern of purchase and economics in this country and around the
yeah.
world.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Don, I agree with you. The FCC should come in and regulate it like it does television because, in my personal opinion, I mean, with television, just for example, when you never could just turn a TV on and watch porn. You had to have cable TV. You had to pay-per-view or something
right.
like that. You shouldn't be able to just pick up the phone, go on Twitter, and look at porn. You just shouldn't. I think the FCC needs to step in on that.
And, you know, I could pick up my cell phone, which I do on a daily basis, and see all the porn I want to see.
I think that's a problem there. I think the FCC should regulate that because you can't do that with a television. You can't just go buy a TV at Walmart and come home and watch porn. You can't do that. So you shouldn't be able to do that with your cell phone either.
All right, gentlemen.
We're changing. America's changing. America's changing.
Yes, that's so true. But, Darius, what do you have to bring to the table?
First of all, I want to tell Michael and Don that you guys were right on. I love your responses to Kanye. Ditto to both of you. It is not racist to say that someone owns something when they do own it. So you guys were right on your remarks and your comparison. And it ties into what Bruce brought up when he brought up Twitter earlier when I was saying that what can destroy our republic is restricting the freedom of speech. And if I had Twitter, I would let everybody on, and I would let anybody say whatever they wanted to say. Now, this is the thing. Outside of making threats or organizing, you know, for the intent of causing a riot or to cause harm to someone, person, thing, or property, outside of that, say whatever, because when you get into, I think Ron said earlier, well, you know, of course, everything isn't going to be permitted, and so some things will have to be looked at. So then who becomes the arbiter? Because what may be offensive to me may not be offensive to you, and if you're in control, if you have the Twitter button and you can cancel who you want, then that puts me at a disadvantage. And so we become a society who feels like it's wrong, like with Kanye, to offend somebody. It's not illegal to offend somebody. It's not illegal to be a racist. It's not illegal to be anti-Semitic. It's not illegal to be a homophobe or whatever. It's not illegal. So we become a society where we're so scared of someone saying something that upsets us or offends us that we want to get on and we want to regulate it. We want the government to regulate. Oh, please come in and fix this because somebody said something that I don't like. Turn it off if you don't like it. Don't follow that person if you don't like it. The last thing we need is the government to sit in and try to become the arbiter of truth, guys. We're all grown men. We have some grown women listening. If someone says something that's insulting or offensive, just turn it off. Don't listen to them. But don't deny everyone else the right because somebody may want to hear it. And they deserve the right to hear it.
But you said the government, the FCC is government, and they regulate
right.
what we watch on TV. And you know, we could flip the channels. That's all I'm saying is that not complete government takeover, but there needs to be some rules, I mean, in my opinion.
Well, I agree. I said that. I said there should be rules, and those rules are concerning violence, threats, organizing for the intent of causing violence or to hurt or harm someone, person, or thing. That right there. But so, yeah, I agree there should be rules concerning that. Vulgarity, yeah, I agree with you on that, too. Vulgarity should not be permitted either. But I'm saying the freedom to say what you want. No one should be able to come on and say, oh, well, that offends this group or that offends that person or this is that. Say what you want to say, man. And people have to be smart enough to say, well, this doesn't sound quite true. And if they don't do their research because someone puts out a conspiracy theory like the asshole Alex Jones, if someone doesn't want to research it and they want to believe that, then have at it. If you want to walk around being ignorant, be ignorant. That's your right, too. You have a right to be ignorant as well. So I think we get into a really, really great area when we start asking people to come in and be the arbiter of truth or the arbiter of what's acceptable.
All right, John.
Darius, I think, and Ron, to kind of answer your question, Ron, to kind of bring what you guys, you two together on that, I think the answer should be based, fact-based, meaning if you're going to regulate it, just make it fact-based. If you're going to be saying all these certain things to these millions of followers of yours, they have to be facts. Just like on TV, they're not going to let you advertise on television if you're advertising a lie. So I think it just needs to be fact-based.
All right, John.
Can't argue with that, Michael.
The
problem with that is, I'm sorry, Desi.
Go ahead. Let me try to get something in before Michael overtalks me. Go ahead, on Darius.
All right. I was saying the problem with that is, guess what happens, Michael, is you have one person determine what is fact and what is not. Like we saw what happened during COVID. We saw all of these scientists that came out and said one thing, and another scientist came out and said the other one. And if any scientist said something that didn't follow the narrative of the White House or of the government or Dr. Fauci, they were kicked off and they were deemed to be false. So, you know, I say let everybody else check. Yeah, just get the information out there and let people are smart enough to research and find out the truth for themselves. But if they're not, like I said, they're entitled to be ignorant as well.
All right, gentlemen. Spencer, I see that you jumped in. In sports, there's been a lot of going on. You want to bring us up on something that's going on? The baby keeping you around? Spencer, all right.
Yes, can you?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you doing,
Father? I'm doing well. It's a lot of things going on in sports. I think one of the main things that I just recently come across was the Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving, who posted up a movie called Hebrews to Negroes, Wake Up Black America. And I'm guessing the whole thing about it is that was having anti-Semitic sayings in the movies. Now, personally, I haven't watched it. I'm still digging into some research about it, but it seemed like he's catching heat for posting it on his social media account, which goes back to everything y'all was just saying, you know, freedom of speech. And I think it was actually on his Twitter account. But people don't like that he just posted about the movie itself and what it represents to him and what it represents to other people. And that's where the issue was coming from. And he said he's not going to take it down because this is something that he's going to stand up for because this is something that he believes in. So nobody has really told him, I guess, in the organization to take it down. They just kind of condemned it. And like he was saying, he said it's on a public platform. And, you know, he didn't do anything illegal. He didn't hurt nobody. you know, but, you know, they're still looking at him as a problem maker, that some form of punishment should be taken only because he's a star on in New York, you know, Brooklyn and everything from last year. And I think it's just a whole thing. Do anybody know about this story? Anybody heard about this on the panel?
Yeah, I heard about it, yeah.
Do you know
who was it, guys?
That he's referencing?
To cut out.
Oh, I said, do you know anything about the movie that he was referencing? The Hebrews to Negroes.
Who was
with
referencing
Black it? Oh, Kyrie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know a little bit about it, Spencer. It's a movie that it tells the story about how Black people are supposedly the real Jews, because Africa, the whole nine, the location where we were, is not just European Jews. It's also Jews who were from Africa who are the original people. That's the story the movie tells. I've never watched the movie, so I don't know. I just read a lot about it, and it's very controversial because other Black celebrities, before Kyrie Irving, Bruce Kyrie Irving is an NBA basketball player. He plays for the Brooklyn Nets. Before he tweeted it, Nick Cannon tweeted it, Ice Cube tweeted it, and they all caught flack when they got major heat when they tweeted it. So that's why Kyrie is taking so much heat right now, because it goes back to what me and Don Wiggins said earlier. They have a monopoly, and they don't want any other story to be told other than the story they tell. And they've always controlled the media, so only their stories has always just been the story you've heard. So this is an alternative story, so they want to shut him down and have it not told, basically.
Yeah, Kanye said the same thing, too, Michael. Also, Kanye said that, you know, that Black people were the original Jews as well.
Right. So this movie supposedly underscores that statement. I've never watched it. I'm going to watch it just to get more facts on it, but that's basically it, Bruce.
And you know something, Darius, what you just said is the truth. And I don't know if that story will ever be told.
Yeah, because then that would make the argument that Black people are God's people, not the European Jews are God's people. So that's clearly a story they don't want. You know, they don't want any other story other than that the Jews from Europe are God's people. They do not want that story debunked ever, because that story has stood since the dawn of time.
So that just goes to show and echo what I've been saying, that we need to focus on the human race, not any particular race, but the human race. And the thing I like about the Jewish race is that culture sticks together like no other culture in world.
And wouldn't it be nice, Don, if we could have T-shirts that said "Human Lives Matter"?
Oh.
You think that's controversial or okay?
You just opened up a revenue stream, Bruce. Go ahead and start to press the roller.
It eliminates color. Human lives matter.
You better not be an NBA player.
Hey, Bruce, tell that to the cops that are pulling over killing Black people. Tell that to them.
Jeremiah, what did you just say?
No, I said he better not be an NBA player. He'd have some issues.
Okay.
Real quick.
Wow. Thursday night loss to the Baltimore Ravens. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been counting on Tom Brady to make things happen, and it seems like he's not really making it happen. Spencer, what's going on? But you only got 30 seconds to tell us.
Oh, man. Wife and kids, family, after Tom Brady's Bucks, we all know after he announced his divorce, okay, he was staying in it and at his locker.
Like Tiger Woods Jr.?
The loss of the family unit.
He's divorcing his wife.
The loss of the family unit, boys and girls.
Exactly.
All right, gentlemen. And we are going to be back again next week. For all those listening, have a great Halloween tomorrow. Enjoy yourself. Have a lot of parties. Do what you like to do. All right, gentlemen, we'll be back next week. Have a great week. Have a great Halloween.
Have a great week. God bless everybody. Wolverines,
welcome
baby. 8-0.
Okay.
8-0. Wolverines.
Oh, wow.
You bet. 8-0.
Get ready. Get ready, Ohio State. We're coming after you. We're coming
That's
after
right.
you.
That's right. We are. Get ready.